Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. We pray that you are having a fantastic day. Today is Wednesday, and that means it is Fire Bible Discipleship Night. I need to move my hands before I knock the phone off of the desk there again. I've done that before. It's not good live radio. I'll just say that to you. So anyway, if you are wanting to grow in your faith, I want to invite you out to our Wednesday night services tonight. We have our youth service at 7 p.m. We have our adult discipleship study that's going on. For some people, discipleship is a dirty word. I disagree with that because it's used a lot in the scriptures. Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples. And so just because some people abuse the term, doesn't mean that we're supposed to throw the baby out with the bathwater, as the expression says. We're supposed to follow Jesus. We're supposed to grow in our relationship with Jesus, and we're supposed to become like Jesus so that we can act, speak like Jesus, and impact our world the way that Jesus did. So that's what our goal is on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. You can jump in at any time. Once we get through with this, initial term through the Fire Bible Discipleship Studies. There's like 77 of those things, so it takes us a while. But we'll probably break them into smaller segments so that we give people a better opportunity, psychologically speaking, to jump in some of these mini segments. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to wait, because these are freestanding lessons. Very rarely do we have a part two. Very rarely do we have, we did this one, now we can do this one. There's not a lot of that. It just helps to give a well-rounded understanding of the Bible. And so we would encourage you to come and join us at 7 p.m. We provide a study guide, bring a pen, bring your Bible, take some notes. If you want to access the Fire Bible, is what it's called. It used to be called the Full Life Study Bible, and then we produced it for a nation that did not have a study Bible, a Pentecostal study Bible that was available for them, and it was a church where going to Bible college was not a possibility. Let's just leave it at that. And when the pastors were given those Bibles, they said, these Bibles are fire. And that's how the Fire Bible got its name. It was named that by the recipients because the power of the Holy Spirit was in operation in those Bibles to help the pastors grow. When the pastors grew, then the church folks could grow. And so that's what it is. And we finally got smart enough to say, hey, I think I'll put that to use in our discipleship plan. And so it has become our plan of discipleship, helping people to grow in their faith. So with that being said, I want to go back to Job chapter 33 and verse number 4. There is just a little bit of a follow-up from yesterday. He's not going to spend much time here. We're going to go over to Ezekiel 37. but I didn't emphasize verse number 4 as much as I would have liked on yesterday's program. So let me just go back there. It says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." And again, ruach is the same for wind, breath, spirit. And so it's the breath of God that gives you life. It's what happens when God breathes. It gives you life. It gave us life as human beings all the way back in the garden. It gave us life there. In the future, it is going to give us eternal life. But God also gives us life right now. And so do not cut yourself off from the breath of God. It is not only the source of life at the beginning, it is what sustains life through the ups and the downs that we may face now. So I'll share a little bit of transparency with you here today. And that is, I recently had a Sunday where my expectations were higher than the reality. And that is the definition of disappointment and discouragement. When your expectations outpace the reality of the situation, you're left disappointed. If you're in business, they tell you to under-promise and over-deliver rather than over-promise and under-deliver, because then you're going to have some upset customers. With that being said, I went to bed. I mean, the day had some ups. It had some downs. I went to bed that night. I don't have a consistent nighttime sleep experience where I just sleep wonderfully. And especially when I've had one of those Sundays where expectations outpaced realities. People got sick. Multiple people got sick. And it was just not what I had hoped it was going to be. So I was awake. There were people that I had invited, didn't hear from. It was one of those things, and I spent the night beating myself up for things that I didn't do as well as I would have liked to have done, mistakes that I had made, you know, possibly offended people and all of that sort of stuff. And so that I do not take Mondays off, because back in the mid-2000s, we had a year where just every week somebody was coming and telling me right before I went up to preach, "Pastor, we're moving. Pastor, we're relocating. Pastor, we're going here, we're going there." And they scattered all across the country. And so they were telling me that right before I was supposed to go up to preach an anointed message. That was not a good plan for success. And so I said, don't talk to me before I preach. If you're going to tell me something like that, tell me after I preach. So I got to where I didn't want to spend Mondays off, because I was having to deal with the transitions of life, wrapping my head around it, trying to figure out what God was wanting from me, what he was going to do for the church. And listen, I will tell you, at that lowest point, if you would have ever told me that the best days were ahead, I would have said, I don't see how at this point in time. So my goal at that point in time was not a 5-year plan. It wasn't a 10-year plan. It was like a 5-minute plan. How am I going to get through the next 5 minutes? And God was good. So I didn't take Mondays off. I started doing administrative things that don't take a whole lot of brain power and things like that. Used Mondays as a day of personal growth instead of just working for the next message and all of those. So that was the type of weekend that I had recently. And then Monday came, and it started off, you know, pretty lackluster. And then all of a sudden, and it wasn't that there wasn't some good things that happened. I got a message from one of the people in our church and said, "Pastor, I just want you to know the visitor that I brought to church with me yesterday, they were so appreciative of what you had shared that it really helped them to understand things that they hadn't understood before." And I was like, well, praise God. And like I said, there were other positive things. And so as the day went along, I was getting better and better. And I heard a couple of days later that one of the people that I had an opportunity to pray for, I had the opportunity to pray for him on my day off in my neighborhood. There was a neighborhood connection. I got to pray, and they were looking at another surgery because things were not healing, multiple issues going on, and they didn't have to have surgery because after prayer, all of a sudden, the problem that was leading to the surgery was resolved. Another issue that we had prayed for was resolved as well. And I want you to know that the Spirit of God gave me life. He gave me life, you know, when I was at my, you know, kind of, it wasn't the lowest point I've ever been, but it was certainly wasn't the highest point that I'd ever been. And I will tell you that what I did on that day is I realized that man's appearance of success and God's appearance of success are two completely different realities. Because I will take a miraculous answer to prayer, and I will call that success any day of the week. And I will take people growing in their faith any day of the week. And so I just want to encourage you that if you are, maybe you're like me, and you have some of those days that are not the greatest days, that the expectations were too high, the realities weren't anywhere near expectation, I want you to know that doesn't mean that God wasn't working in the details and wasn't working His will, His plan, according to His time. And so allow the Spirit of God to give you life today. It's not only the initiation of life, it is the sustaining of life that God does. Now, let's go over to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. And verse number 1 says this: "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinew on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. So, here in verse number one, in the midst of a very hopeless-looking situation, it says, the hand of the Lord came upon me. It came upon Ezekiel. Came upon Ezekiel because there was a problem that needed to be solved. I don't believe it came upon Ezekiel because he was the only person that God wanted to use at that point in time. Ezekiel heard from God. Ezekiel was one that went and spoke what God commanded, did what God commanded him to do. And because he listened and because he was willing to act as God's ambassador, God came and laid hands on him and says, we are getting ready to do something you don't even know is possible. I want you to know that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above everything that we can ask or think or imagine. If you can imagine it, God's able to do more than that. Why would we, as finite beings, put finite limitations on the capabilities and abilities of an infinite God? It doesn't make any sense. What we need in our contemporary society, what we need in May of 2023, is we need God to put his hand on some of his people once again. There's some problems that need to be solved. I've heard some sayings recently that make me nervous, and they say, well, this person here is the only person that can solve the problems that we're facing. I don't believe that. I believe that God is the only individual who can solve the problems. He knows what he wants to do. He knows how to solve the problems, and he wants to lay hands on people and not just a manner of prayer, but a manner of revelation, a manner of repositioning, a manner of instructing. Are you available for God to touch you, not just so that you can be healed, but so that you can be used? I've told you before of the man who told me on the phone, Pastor, the strong hand of God has been upon me. And this is what he wants me to do. And with that being the case, when God puts his hand on you, There's a lot of possibilities. This is reminiscent of when God formed man out of the dust of the earth before he breathed life into him again. Now here he's got his the nation of Israel, his chosen people, the 10 northern tribes, and he's saying, actually he talks about the whole house of Israel here, and that would be bringing back Judah and Benjamin. They had their own distinct identity because they had been separated 10 tribes from the two ever since the days of Rehoboam. God puts his hands on you, not for violence, but to position you, to fashion you, to form you, to equip you, so that a hopeless situation takes on a whole new appearance. So the hand of the Lord came upon him and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. So now when I read that, I go, in my mind, I go forward in time to Revelation chapter 4, where John says in verse number 1, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So the spirit not only gives life, but it positions us to see the dynamic activities that God has in mind, or in John, in Revelation, is actually taking place in the heavens. God's kingdom is not static. It's not stationary. It's not stuck. It's not impotent. It's not without strategy. It is not without wisdom. God's not alone. You're not alone. Don't suffer from the Elijah complex. I'm the only one left. Don't go there. You just need the hand of God upon you, and for him to bring you out in the spirit of the Lord. Never forget, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the sovereign, self-existent one, the one who is never surprised, never blindsided, never without a plan, knows all things, doesn't need anything. God says, if I needed something, would I tell you? he puts his hand upon us because in his wisdom, he has chosen to partner with man. God has a plan of redemption, and the saints of God are God's A-team. You're part of God's plan. So don't ever forget that. He said, he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley. And some of you may be going through a valley experience. We think of valleys because of the lower altitude that they have there compared with the surrounding environment. So where a mountain has increased elevation compared to the surrounding environment, valleys have lower elevation. And we put that in an emotional context. So when our emotions are running higher than normal, we consider that a mountaintop experience. When our emotions are running lower, we consider that a valley experience. We don't like lower emotional experiences or lower emotional seasons. And so we describe that we would prefer the mountaintops. Well, let me tell you, dealing with mountaintops, getting to the top of mountains is a lot more work. It's a lot more dangerous. It's a lot more risky. But there's not much growth there. There can be some achievement and something to celebrate. I remember visiting a mountain top when I was a recent graduate out of high school, and we went up to the mountain and had a snowball fight in shorts in July. There was still snow on the ground, and that's one of the highlights. Now, we didn't have to climb the mountain. We got to drive the mountain, and that can be intimidating enough. Valleys, on the other hand, are the places that benefit from all of the runoff of the precipitation that has been stored up in the mountains through snow. And so everything feeds down into the valley. And guess where the growth takes place? The growth takes place in the valley. If you are finding yourself in one of those realities where your emotional context is lower than what it normally is, I want you to fix your eyes on some of the mountaintop experiences that you've had and remind yourself that God is the God of both the mountains and the valleys, and He's the God of the plateau as well. And position yourself as an expectation. Look, if God placed you in that valley, it is not just for your benefit, but Ezekiel was placed there to speak transformation into that situation. Whatever hopeless situation you feel like you may be facing right now, God has a word from you that is going to take you from being a hopeless individual to being a prisoner of hope, where you know that the God of all hope and the God of all glory is going to Himself put His hands on you, pick you up, lift you up, set you down where He would have you to be, and you are going to prosper, and you are going to be established, and you are going to thrive. You are going to change that experience. We've talked about the Valley of Achor being transformed into a valley of blessing. It takes a person who is willing to have God put His hand on them, the Spirit of God, come and position you where you can make kingdom impact. If you are not making kingdom impact right now, I want to encourage you. The Spirit of God is getting ready to move in a dynamic way so that you can be used by God to bring glory and honor to Him. Change the valley. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Like shadows fade as light falls. going